Now, I'm going to need some of the children's help in a minute. But as we begin a new year, you can feel quite hopeful, can't you? You can feel quite sort of excited about the new year ahead. I don't know, have you had sort of those kind of messages from friends and family on WhatsApp that sort of say, oh, here's to a better 2022? And you kind of think, oh, yeah, actually, I think this year might be better. You might have even sent some of those messages yourself. And I don't want to be a bit of a downer on the beginning of a new year. But as we were just praying about, the world around us is in darkness. We live in a divided world, largely. And divided on the big scale of kind of, you know, countries at conflict with either themselves or other nations. There's war, there are takeovers planned, there are armies on the borders of other countries. That's on the big scale. In the smaller scale, kind of more local to home, there are also divisions and problems in our own families. There are divisions within our friendships. And I guess we sometimes ask the question, why? Why is the world around us so divided? And is there really any hope? You know, we were hearing about a Hope Explored course coming up. Is there really any hope? I was watching a video. We were at church this morning, and they were asking all sorts of people, like, what's your hope for 2022? Is there hope, really? Is there a realistic expectation of this stuff getting better? Well, thankfully, the Bible's got the answers, as I hope lots of us believe. And so we're going to have a look at Genesis chapter 11, from right towards the beginning of the Bible. And then we're also going to look at Revelation chapter 7, right from the end of the Bible. And we're going to look at those two bits. And we're going to look at it in two parts with a song in the middle to kind of keep us energized. And I think Esther, if she's here, is going to come and give us our reading. Is that right? Wonderful. And children, if there are any children who'd like to come and join us down the front, I'm going to need your help with a few things in a minute. So if you'd like to come and join us and sit down the front while Esther gets her Bible sorted and those kind of things, then feel free to come and sit down the front here as the reading's given. It'd be very helpful. I really do need your help in just a moment. But for the moment, it's over to Esther for a bit of Genesis chapter 11.
So the reading can be found on page 12 of the church Bibles, and it's Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain, in Shinar, and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
Thank you. So, thank you so much for reading for us. Okay. I guess that's could be a fairly familiar story, some of that. Kind of the people gathering together. They're getting some brick and stuff. I've got some of my own bricks here. We're going to do a bit of building in just a moment. Just to sort of... hold on. My own children are very keen. It's their blocks. So they're thinking, oh, it's my turn to build. And it's familiar, isn't it? The people want to make a tower. They kind of come together. They said, let's build ourselves a city. But what are we to learn? What are we to learn from this tower-building story? Well, I think that one of the first things to learn is about what goes wrong in the story. Let's keep this slide up. And I think the key is here in verse 4. I'm going to read it again. The people in the world, they come together. This is right towards the beginning of the Bible. They come together and they say to each other, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole world. And you think, building a city, building a tower, is it really that bad? Why is this a problem? Well, next slide. I wonder if you can see what the problem here is. Let me read it again. It says, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. I wonder if you spotted it that time. I've tried to make it fairly obvious. And the problem isn't the buildings. It's not a problem with making a tower, a city, making something that looks exciting or visually impressive. It's the reason why they wanted to do it. That's the issue here. They wanted to do it to make a name for themselves. Next slide. What do we mean, making a name for ourselves? And this is where I need some help. So I need two volunteers from each side. I need a child and an adult on each side. And we need to try and make the biggest tower that we can. Okay, so I wonder if, could the young lady here, would she be willing? Would you be willing to build us a tower? Lovely. There are lots of Duplo blocks here. And I need someone from this side. Would anyone like to volunteer? I want... Okay, come on. Come and help. Lovely. And do you want to help as well? You can be the adult. It's fine. Lovely. Okay, we need to build two towers. Now, these are the support teams for these two builders. So you are team one. Give us a cheer. Give us a cheer. Team two, give us a cheer. I fancy team one's chances. Okay, and I'm going to give you 25 seconds. It's not long. To build the tallest tower that you can. Okay? Are you ready to build a tall tower? Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Go, you've got to get building. And if you have a bit of cheering for your team, that'd be quite good. A bit of woo. Go team one. Go team two. Yeah, something of that sort of ilk. And here they are. We're now about 10 seconds in. It's not going too badly. I feel like team one slightly has the edge at the moment. But team two's coming back. Okay, I think we've got about 10 seconds left. It needs to be standing on the floor. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. It needs to be standing on the floor. 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop building. Stop building. Stop building. My children need to stop building. Okay, if you could just sit down, sit down. Okay, let's have a look. If you could just sit down, my love. Now, I think it's a clear win. Could we have a round of applause, please, for team one? And oh, dear, I've just knocked over team two. Oh, dear. And what's your name, young lady? Esther. What a lovely name. Now, Esther, you are now crowned. You have made your name for yourself as the Windsor Fellowship Church Duplo Tower Building of 2022. Round of applause, please. And now, Esther, if we could, we'd love to put your name in lights a bit like this. The best I could do was Bob, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. But this is what's making a name for yourself. You've done something impressive, something exciting, and people have gone, wow, look at you. You have made a name for yourself. But come back with me to Genesis chapter 11. And the people in Genesis, well, they're trying to make a name for themselves. They're trying to make people think, wow, you are really impressive. They're trying to put their name in the lights instead of God, which really is a bit ridiculous. You see, just a few chapters before, God has made, what did God make? The whole world. You see, God didn't have a tower-building project. God had a world-building project. And he didn't make it out of bricks that he found, or that he made. He made it out of nothing. Every single bit of the world, he made it. Now, he really does deserve his name in the lights. Yeah, he really does deserve his name in the lights. So how silly for the people in Babel, at the Tower of Babel, to try and make a name for themselves. God is the one who they should be trying to make a name for. But before we point the finger too strongly at them, before we need to point the finger too strongly at them, we actually need to have a little bit of a think about ourselves. Because whether we like it or not, we too also try and make a name for ourselves. Now, children, it might be through trying to be really good at football, okay? Might be trying to be really good at football, or I was speaking to someone earlier, said they were a maths teacher. You might want children who really, really are good at maths. You might want to be really good at maths. Ooh, I know that's actually your football, isn't it? You're going to find this very difficult. I'm going to put it back in there. And you often want to make... Oh, no. You want people to think you're really good at these things. Because you want people to think you're amazing. To think that you're great. But isn't that a bit silly? Because if you're playing football, who made your foot? Well, God did. He's the one who makes the foot that's able to kick the ball and do amazing skills that I definitely can't do. And if you like maths, well, God is the one who makes the brain that can do the wonderful calculations. He's the one who made the calculator. Oh dear, I think he might need to go and play somewhere else. See, God is the one who makes these wonderful things. It's his name that deserves to be in the lights. But whether we like it or not, we do this. And children, us adults do that too, right? We want our name to be in the lights. We want to have the best jobs. We want to have the nicest, tidiest houses. We want to make the tastiest food. We want people to think like, oh yeah, wow, you're really good at that. But actually, we should want God to be the one that everyone thinks is amazing. That he's the one who's helped us get the great jobs. Who's helped us have a lovely house. He is the one who's truly, truly great. He is the one who deserves to have his name in the lights. Now, as we go back to Genesis, God sees what the people are doing. He sees how they're trying to make a name for themselves. And he comes down and he does something about it. He gives the people different languages to speak. And he wants to stop the rebellion that's going on against him. Otherwise, it's only going to get worse. If the people gather together to make a tower together to make their name great, God thinks that if I don't split them up, well, there's no stopping what they might do to try and get a name for themselves. And so he splits them up and he gives them different languages. Imagine what it might have been like on that building site. Okay? Apologies if I mispronounce anything here, but here we go. One person would have said, Davei prostroyem bashniyu. And someone else would have said, Hava nivna lanu migdal. And someone else might have said, Sato ho tateo. Now again, apologies if I've pronounced anything wrong, but does anyone know what I just said? Anyone? Exactly. You have no idea what I was saying. I spoke in Russian, Hebrew, and Japanese. And you've got no idea what I was saying. I said, come, let us build a tower together. But you had no idea what I was saying. And that's exactly what it would have been like in Babel. No one would have known what each other was saying. And so all they would have really heard from each other was babble, 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 babble. Which is why the place, verse 9 tells us, is called Babel. Because the people had no idea what each other was saying. And actually, our world is still a bit like this today. We still have all sorts of different languages. We often don't understand each other. And actually, the languages that God introduced caused the people to be scattered all over the world. Now, I've got some different flags representing different languages. And anyone know what this one is? Spain, very good. So Spanish. I've got loads of these, but I'm going to give them out just to the children here, okay? And anyone others that want to come up to grab one, because I need your help, okay? This is a visual aid in here. So come on up, grab one. Here we go. You take one. Oh, that's right at the bottom. Yeah, you have that one. Just stay here. That one there. Oh, would you like one? Let's go. We've got another. Toby, do you want to take one? Any more? Oh, yeah, come on up. Because God introduces languages, and then they're all babble, babble, babble with each other. They haven't a clue what each other's saying. So they give up on the great building project, and they go off to different parts of the world. So go off to different parts of the world. Go and sit back where you were. Perfect. Go and sit back where you were. Put the Duplo down. Lovely. Go and sit where you were. Because the people were scattered across the earth, like you're now scattered across the room in here. And our world is still a bit like that today. There are still different languages. People are now, that's kind of developed. There are now different nations with different governments. And one of the reasons that we see our world is divided, to come back to where we started, one of the reasons our world is so divided is because God made it that way. He divided the people by giving them different languages to stop them from doing even worse things together. That's one of the reasons our world is so divided today. And one of the other reasons that our world is so divided is because we still want to make a name. We still want to make a name for ourselves. Leaders in countries want to make a name for themselves, and so they want more power, they want more money. And so wars start. Even at home, we want more greatness rather than God's greatness, which causes conflict, causes division. I think if we're honest, all of us, even if in very small ways, want to be great instead of God. And so we need to say sorry for that, and Paul's going to come and lead us in a sorry prayer. And then we're going to sing together before we come up and hear something a bit more hopeful. Over to Paul.
All the time, even over Christmas, amongst those we love the most, it's not impossible that not everything was entirely harmonious all the time. We say sorry, and we do that when we come to God, and we're going to do that with words on the screen together. So let's say these words together. Heavenly Father, we admit that so often we think, speak, and behave our way, rather than thinking, speaking, and behaving your way. We are sorry. Please forgive us for our wrongdoing. Help us to want to change, and let you be in charge of our lives. Because we ask this in the name of Jesus, who died for us and rose again. Amen. And when we say sorry to people around us, it's wonderful to know their forgiveness. Well, listen to what the Bible says. In the book of Jeremiah, God says, I will forgive their wickedness. I will remember their sins no more. Oh Lord, we thank you that you have forgiven us all the wrong things that we have done. Thank you that you do not remember them. And the Lord Jesus has taken them away. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pete told us that we think much of ourselves, our own name, and lose sight of the great God who's made everything, who's given us all those gifts that we can enjoy. And our next song points us to that indescribable greatness of God. So let's stand to sing.
The highest of heights, the depths of us.
Okay, if we have the next slide up. Wonderful. Now, we heard in this first half, didn't we, then, that we want a name for ourselves, we don't want a name for God, and that causes our world to be divided, for there to be different languages and all sorts of divisions. But wonderfully, God doesn't just leave us here. This is not the end of the story. As we look into 2022, there actually really is true hope for us to grab hold of. Because God promises us, in the last book of the Bible, that there's going to be a change, that there's going to be great unity rather than division. Here's what Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10 says. It's written by a guy called John, and he's given this vision. He says, "After this I looked, and there before me is a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, join with me, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus." Do you hear that? And right in the middle of the verses, it says, there'll be people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. What God introduced back in Genesis chapter 11 to divide people, well, they're now coming back together. God promises that nations will be brought back together, that there won't be division, there won't be kind of different countries and all this sort of stuff, and that the people will come back together rather than to make a name for themselves, they're going to make a name for God. That's what we said. They cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. They've come back rather than to make a name for themselves, but to make a name for him. Next slide, please. John Lennon wrote this song called Imagine. Some of you remember, give us a nod if you remember that song. Lovely. I think it's actually slightly before my time. But in it, he imagines a world totally at peace, this kind of perfect utopian experience. And actually, according to Revelation chapter 7, according to God, well, he's half right and he's half wrong. I wanted to sing it, but I did that at home as I was practicing this talk, and my wife said, oh, don't do that. So I'm not going to. But here's the second verse on a slide. It says, imagine there's no countries. It's not hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Da, 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 da. You know what I'm talking about? Lovely. Now, Lennon's half right. Okay, so thumbs up for a half right. He's half right because he says there'll one day come a place where people will live a life in peace. See that last line? Live a life in peace. There's nowhere that people are divided. Only people united together. And there's no countries to divide people. No selfishness, no desire to make our names great to divide us. It's a bit like sort of children, it's a bit like in the stories that we read children at night time where it all lives happily ever after. And you think, yeah, right. But this is a true happily ever after in Revelation chapter 7. Lennon is half right, but he's half wrong. I wonder if you spotted as we were reading it the half wrong that he's got. He's half wrong because he wants to cut God out of the picture. Second line, he says, and no religion too. You see, the only way that world peace is possible, as Christians, we believe, is because of what God has done. See that in verse 10, if we can go to the next slide. Oh, no, not that one. I've got lost in my slide notes, I'm sorry. In verse 10, the people were praising God. In verse 10, they were saying, oh, here we go. Salvation belongs to our God. It's God. He's the one who has saved the people. He is the one who's been able to bring them back together. I mean, it's Jesus. He's the one who's been able to bring them back together. We were singing about it in that song about the church, that Jesus is the one who's been able to unite all people. Because this story of Revelation chapter 7, this true vision of the future, actually begins now in the church. We're a united people from, I'm guessing, different nations, from different languages, from different cultures, from different backgrounds, from different families, for sure. The church is the way that starts now and will continue on to the future. It's a little window, a little picture. And that church is saved by God. Salvation belongs to our God. That's the thing that we are united around Jesus. And so if you're a Christian here today, if you're someone who's put your trust in Jesus, you can look forward to a perfect future. You really and truly can. You don't need to put your hope in kind of the UN and in NATO or in any kind of a peace deal or whatever it is for hope in 2022. Actually, your hope is already in the God who has saved you. You can look forward to a world without conflict that is not divided. And you can look forward to enjoying peace and harmony. Just imagine for a second. Just imagine, you've all probably got one of these, a passport. Imagine never needing one of these. Imagine never having to go to borders and hand in your passport. Because actually the whole country, the whole world is completely united. There aren't different governments against each other. There aren't some people who are struggling under a dictator. There aren't others who are struggling with civil war and a kind of an underhanded coup. Actually, we're all united at the throne of God. He's the one who's going to rule and lead us. That is true hope for 2022. Our world is full of division. This year won't be any different, I imagine. But you and I, if we're a Christian here today, we have a true hope that one day we will live in complete harmony, living life in peace, as Lennon says, but with God. Now, that's a hope worth holding on to in 2022 and also for the rest of our lives. Let me pray to close us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you're a God who loves us, that even though we try and make a name for ourselves, you love us and sent your Son into the world to save us. Thank you that you're a saving God who brings people together and will one day unite us to be a people before you. Thank you for that world peace that we will enjoy before your throne in the future. In 2022, help us to look forward to that future, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pete, thank you again for coming to us. Do stick around afterwards. There are refreshments out here. Just come and introduce yourself to Pete and say hello to each other as we begin this new year.